Let's bring him in. He is, of course, a world-famous baseball expert. You can see him all around America. Knows baseball better than anybody. Working for The Athletic and Major League Baseball Network and, of course, Stadium TV with Baseball Stories with Jason Stark. He's brought to us by Everfresh Juice and Juice Drinks, Nature's Refreshment, with over 40 flavors to get you through extra innings every day. Jason, how are we feeling today?
Mike, happy October to you.
Thank you. You too. October is when good teams play baseball.
Yeah.
And this was not a good team that we saw this year, and hence they're not playing baseball. Yes, they are idle.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about the both executives and what they had to say and what your spin on this whole thing is. Let's talk with the free agents first. McPhail downplayed the acquisition of free agents, multiple free agents, maybe not one free agent. Where do you think they stand now in the offseason? Do they have to add, are they star hunting like the Sixers were last offseason?
Of course they are. You know, Mike, I've known Andy a long time, and I've observed his work at multiple franchises. And Andy always says this. He always has, everywhere he's been. He doesn't want people to expect that they'll sign Manny Machado and Bryce Harper, or both, right? Because what happens if they don't? Then they're the Sixers. He doesn't want to be
exactly
that, right?
Yeah.
But look, I'd be shocked, and they'd be shocked, if they don't sign at least one major impact free agent. I do think it's almost impossible for them to sign both Machado and Harper for many reasons. It's just going to be too many years and too many dollars to afford both of them. And they're going to be too many teams on these guys. It just doesn't make sense to think they could sign them both. But in my gut, I'm reluctant to predict anything, but if I were going to predict something about this team this winter, I would predict Manny Machado is in Clearwater next February. They want Manny. They've circled his name on their shopping list for a long time. I really think they're determined to do what it takes, within reason, of course.
Interesting. Now, let me throw this your way, because this was the LeBron principle. I don't think LeBron considered the Sixers because he saw at the end of the year they weren't quite ready to win. The Phillies showed at the end of the year that they're a long way away from winning. Would that move a free agent off the Phillies' path? A marquee guy?
You know, it would depend on the free agent and what his options are and how much money is being piled in front of him.
Well, you know, the big guys are going to have their pick of teams they're going to pile money in front of them.
But not, you know, not... It's not going to be what you think. I don't think this is going to be a free agent market like we were used to once upon a time. I think they're both going to have fewer bidders than they think, and the dollars and years aren't going to be what they think. It's just what the moral of last winter's free agent market was. But, I thought about this a lot. When the Phillies almost traded for Machado, the thought was it would be great to get him in here and have him see this franchise close up. I almost think now it was better that he not be here and not experience what they went through the last 2 months. Maybe that doesn't happen if they do trade for him. But I think if it were up to Manny, he'd love to stay with the Dodgers. I do not see that happening. And then at that point, I think it becomes a classic auction. And as I've told you multiple times, I think the Phillies are prepared to put the biggest pile of money in front of them.
Yeah, all right, let's talk about the guy. Let's talk about the guy who's going to put that pile in front of him, because I haven't heard from him. And I'm curious to know how John Middleton, who can be an emotional guy, saw this team the way it ended after all the optimism and, you know, riding high on the new Phillies, and then all of a sudden it evaporated. So how's Mr. Owner feeling about it?
Wasn't it interesting that Andy McPhail used the word cranky to describe John Middleton?
Uh-huh.
And I would be shocked if John isn't applying major pressure to this front office. And you know, listening to how they kind of both guys talked this week, I'm sure they're not totally comfortable with that. You know, Andy talked yesterday about keeping money in reserve for next winter's free agent market. Matt Klentak even mentioned the following winter's free agent market. Andy, it's clear, right? He believes in building methodically. Why do I have a feeling the owner isn't on the same schedule or the same level of patience?
Yeah, I mean, and that's problematic, I think. I mean, we'll see how that blend goes. Now, a lot of other things came out this week, but they kind of tipped their hand that Franco's gone, and they have to improve defensively. And it's hard to look at this team and know who to trade because they really didn't get a good idea. All this stuff that it's into play now, seven positions are really uncertain. But let's zero in on a couple. To improve their defense, they have to get Hoskins out of left field in the first base. But they can't have the first baseman go to third and expect to get better defensively. So what's going to shake out there?
All right, well, I've gotten the impression that their number one priority this winter is to fix the defense, you know, beyond signing Manny or whatever. But it's not going to be easy, as we've been talking about. Every regular player on their team, who played much anyway, graded out as an average defender or worse. Some of them were much worse. They set a record for most negative defensive runs saved since Baseball Info Solutions has kept track of this. That's how bad it was. So, all right, they signed Machado, right? That upgrades them defensively, although it'd be more at third than short. Then I think that bounces Kingery to second. That's an upgrade there. Cesar Hernandez did not have a good defensive year. Hoskins at first is an upgrade, if only because you're getting them out of left field. More Quinn in center is an upgrade, but I don't know where that leaves third base. I don't know where it leaves the outfield corners. I really think this, a lot of this depends on who they can sign, which guy they bring in to start the dominoes clattering around.
All right, let's suppose it is Machado. All right, Machado, so you're saying Kingery goes to second. That means they move Hernandez.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, he's been dangled. He was dangled last winter. They overpriced him. He'll be more reasonably priced this year. I think Franco, they all
say
he's gone.
They're going to move Franco. Now, they still have Santana on a tee. Can they move Santana, or would he play third base? If they get Machado, would Santana third base work? And then you're saying Quinn, so Herrera's got to be moved. So then what's the outfield look like at this point?
that's a lot of guys to move, isn't it?
It is.
I honestly think that they don't know the answer to that yet. Are they going to sign Machado, or are they going to sign Harper? Are they going to sign Machado and some other outfielder? Are they going to sign Machado and some free agent third baseman? The pieces in the puzzle are not clear yet. So one thing leads to the next thing. And I think they've got plan A, B, C, D, E. But a lot depends on whether plan A actually works, which is Manny.
This is a 1,000-piece jigsaw instead of like a 50-piece. Seriously, it's ridiculous. All the work they have to do here.
I know, because they have depth of talent in the big leagues and in the system, but it's a lot of interchangeable parts. It's not a lot of star power. It's not a lot of guys that you pencil them in and then you go from there. There are a million different ways they could line up next year.
Yeah. All right. So is J.P. Crawford out?
How much did he play down the stretch? Almost none.
Yeah.
Aren't they telling you?
Not in their plans. Not in their plans.
I don't think he's in their plans to be any kind of centerpiece player unless things go awry. The question is, how much value does he have elsewhere? I'm going to tell you this. Not much. He had tremendous value 2 years ago. Very little now.
All right. Quickly on this story that I'm talking about today, that the FBI Department of Justice is probing the Dodgers Latin American player recruitment during Gabe Kapler's tenure with the team. The Foreign Corrupt Practices Act is in play here, where Caribbean smugglers traffic Cuban nationals to American soil using third country way stations, and they're using ball players that way. The Dodgers especially targeted. Kapler worked at the Dodgers Director of Player Development from 2014 to 2017. A general manager for the Braves lost his job after being involved in a situation like this. Where does this end up with Kapler?
Well, this is a big problem for the Dodgers, and it's a big problem for the sport. But I would say, just from what I know, this does not appear to fall under Gabe Kapler's area. You know, the director of player development is given players and then, you know, assigns them to different minor league teams, and they try to make those players better. The director of player development is not in charge of acquiring players. He's certainly not in charge of going to Latin America and acquiring players. So I think it's unlikely that Gabe gets looped in here. But, you know, if this investigation goes where it looks like it's going, then somebody's going to be in big trouble, not just in baseball, but, you know, with the feds. Mm-hmm. So let's just stay tuned.
All right, Jason, always a pleasure. Good stuff. We'll talk to you.
My pleasure, Mike. Thanks.
There he is, Jason Stark.